to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
What exactly is mailbox money? Well, mailbox money is a condition that occurs when you effectively invest in real estate. And when you acquire a real estate asset, you do the things that you need to do to make that property a just a beautiful property in the neighborhood that it's located in, and you attract great people that want to rent that property. When they pay you the monthly rent, you're going to turn around and pay the associated expenses for that property. And whatever is left over, well, it's profit. It's called passive income. We like to call it mailbox money. And for those of us that invest passively into larger apartment communities, mailbox money is just a functionality of the syndicator or the lead investor doing the exact same things that you would do on a single family property. They're just doing it on a much bigger scale. And when all of their residents in their apartment community make their rental payments, that payment is distributed across all of the different expenses associated with that multifamily property, and what is left over is considered the profit or the passive income. And we, as passive investors, we get mailbox money. For instance, I was notified just this morning that one of the apartment communities that I'm passively invested in is going to make a distribution. So what I'm looking for is that notification from my bank saying, hey, money has been deposited in this account. It's really pretty cool because when you invest correctly, your asset is doing the majority of the work. After all, that asset is providing clean, functional workforce housing for people that absolutely deserve to have it. And as a result of that, you don't spend a lot of your time operating that property. You really don't. If you're doing it correctly, your time is minimal. Don't take it from me. Take it from my guest yesterday, Michael, the gentleman that lives in the great state of Ohio. You know, he became a member 3 years ago, and he started investing in single family properties in Cleveland, Ohio, which is right next to where he lives. And he is actually at the pinnacle of owning 14 properties. What does that mean? Well, he owned 12. He's got two that are about ready to close escrow. I think he said they should close by Friday. So as a result of the investments that he has made and the passive income streams that are coming in, he has effectively retired himself. And what I mean by that is this: the income streams that he will receive off of those 14 houses exceeds the amount of money he takes home from his W-2 job. It doesn't mean he has to quit his job. No, he actually enjoys what he's doing. But what it does for him is it creates a situation where he's in control of his life. You know, we as Americans, and for you non-Americans listening to the show, I'm not trying to exclude you, but we have a tendency to do what society tells us to do, which is to go to school, get good grades, get a good job. And with that good job, you get pay, you get maybe some type of benefits in the form of, I don't know, maybe health insurance or things like that. And then maybe you get something linked to a so-called retirement plan. Maybe your employer provides a 401k and maybe they match funds in that 401k. Or maybe you go a different route. You invest in a, well, I use the word invest. You save in a an IRA, or, you know, maybe some employers are providing you a pension. Maybe. But The problem that I have is this. When you don't have mailbox money, you are a part of the majority of Americans that have a single source of income. And that income usually comes as a result of you trading your time and talents for a paycheck. That's right. And after all, that's the path to success that society told us to follow. And with that paycheck, you pay for the normal expenses in life, you know, things like housing, food, clothing, maybe a vehicle or two, or, you know, depending on your situation, some other transportation-related costs. You pay for utilities. Maybe you spend some money on entertainment or other living expenses. And I'm not trying to detail everything that, you know, you should consider in your household budget. What I'm saying is this. The vast majority of Americans are actually falling behind when it comes to putting money aside for retirement. Now, according to the Federal Reserve System, they did a study on the economic well-being of Americans. Many adults feel behind in their savings for retirement. Even among those who have some savings, people commonly lack financial knowledge and are uncomfortable making investment decisions. I'm not making that up. That came from the Fed. They go on to make a couple of other points. They say less than two-thirds of non-retired adults think that their retirement savings are on track, and one-fourth have no retirement savings or pension whatsoever. They say three-fifths of non-retirees with self-directed retirement accounts, such as 401ks or IRAs, have little or no comfort in managing their investments. You know, they're relying on the so-called experts. They went on to say this. On average, people answer fewer than 3 out of 5 basic financial literacy questions correctly, with lower scores among those who are less comfortable managing their retirement savings. I'm here to tell you, the system is broken, and we'll be back right after this.
Del Wamsley on Designing a Lifestyle.
When I was younger, I decided that I was not going to live the life that the average person lived, which was to think I was going to work for the end of my life, save up enough money, and then when I'm old and gray like I am now, try to buy my life back with a pile of money that I had. I said, no, I'm going to design a life and I'm going to live that life. That's it. Period.
Are you ready to design your life? Learn how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm talking about a concept known as mailbox money. And some of you are thinking, okay, you started off talking about that, but then you went into this whole discussion of how the retirement system is broken. I know I did, didn't I? And here's the reason I did it. I think that it's all interrelated. I think that the majority of you out there are following a retirement strategy that society put together, bundled up, and then throughout the course of your life has taught you that this is the way it is. This is the way you do business. You go to school, get good grades, get into a good job where you get pay and you get maybe some type of benefits, maybe you get a retirement plan, and then you continue to do that over a period of maybe 35, 40, or 45 years, depending on what the government has defined the retirement age to be. And what I pointed out was that I had Michael on the show yesterday, who is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and he has amassed a collection of 14, well, it's technically 12. He's got two that are getting ready to close. We'll just call it 14. 14 single family houses in the Cleveland, Ohio area that are producing cash flow for him. And as a result of that, the income coming in, the spendable money, that is, the passive income coming in, is about ready to go over the tipping point. In other words, he is going to have more passive income than he makes in his W-2 job. And that gives him choices. Now, he enjoys doing what he does. He's in sales, and he likes sales because he's a people person. So he doesn't have any desire to leave his job. But here's the neat thing. By investing correctly, and he did this over a period of 3 years, and by the way, he did it based on the fact that he joined our organization, became a member of what we call our Financial Freedom Program membership, which is our entry-level membership. He did it all at that level. Yeah, he absolutely did it all at that level. He did the things that we told him to do, and he has garnered great success. But my arguments today are this. I think that the retirement system in America, it's definitely broken. It is definitely failing Americans, and it will continue to fail Americans because it just doesn't work. It is based on a concept of saving, saving, saving. And the problem with saving, saving, saving is that it doesn't provide any income streams for you. Now, I've got savings accounts where I keep money, a lot of money, by the way. And I keep that money in those savings accounts because I need to have financial reserves for my real estate investments. It's a condition of the lenders, and it's just a smart business practice. But when I look at what my bank pays me on a monthly basis, considering the amount of money that I have in there, I might be lucky to get a dollar a month. You heard me correctly. Maybe a dollar a month. Maybe $2. Yeah, the return is ridiculously small. I mean, it's almost like, why are you even, doesn't it cost you, the bank, more money to process that financial transaction than it does to actually give me that dollar or two? I don't know. It's their business model. But the other thing that I think is a problem out there is a little thing called unexpected expenses. You know, I got a couple of emails this morning from people that I know, and what they were telling me was that they had some unexpected expenses arise in their lives. One of them said, you know, I had a major system in my house, just it went on the fritz, needed to be replaced. Kind of expensive proposition. It was an air conditioning unit. I think she said it was like a $4,500 expense. She wasn't expecting that to happen, but it happened. And because she lives in Florida, they're not quite ready in Florida to go into winter, you know, so she wants to have her air conditioning. So that was a big expense. Not a problem for her, because what she did was the income that she receives from her passive investments, she just doesn't go out and just spend it on shoes and purses and things like that. She puts that money aside, and that is a pool of money that's available to her for unexpected expenses. Another friend of mine, she chimed in on the email and said, you know what, I had a similar occurrence. Now, she lives in a condominium, and the condominium where she lives, they had some foundational problems. Okay, she lives up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and up there the soils have a tendency to shift a little bit. It's just the way it is. And what the condominium association decided to do was to level the properties out. Okay, get them back on balance, which makes sense. Well, when you start moving foundations around, one of the greatest risks is damage to existing plumbing systems, whether it's freshwater feeds, whether it's sewer evacuation lines, whatever it is, those pipes have a tendency to maybe stress a little bit through that process, and a result of that can be that they break. And in her particular situation, because some of those pipes burst, it actually caused some water damage to some of the units. Now, when it comes to condos, we don't believe that owning condominiums for rental investment purposes is the way to go. And the reason for it is you really just own a place and space. You own the interior of the four walls and the roof and the floor. Everything else is essentially owned and managed by the association or the condominium association. And they usually have a board of directors that makes decisions on these things. And to be honest with you, not everybody that serves in these homeowners association boards knows what they're doing or has experience with, you know, renovating properties or repairing properties. But I'm getting off track. She told me in the email that the association wasn't prepared for the residual effects of leveling the property back out. So essentially what they're doing is they're creating a cash call from everybody that lives within that community. In other words, you get to pay an additional fee or an additional assessment to the association so that they can get all these repairs done. She's a successful real estate investor, and she's like, yeah, you know what? The cash call kind of came in. It is what it is. We're not affected by it because it came out of that bigger pool of money that we have set aside for investments. Okay, it is what it is. But check this out. According to a recent Bankrate survey, if you're suddenly faced with a $1,000 bill for an unexpected expense, only 39% of adults would be able to pay for it. And get this, for those who can pay for it, it will come out of their savings. Now, when we come back from the break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the Federal Reserve System study because there's some things that you need to be aware of. And we'll be back right after this.
The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So going into the break, I cited a Bankrate survey, and basically what the survey said was this. If you're suddenly faced with a $1,000 bill, not somebody gave you a $1,000 bill, but you got a bill for $1,000 for some unexpected expense, only 39% of you out there would be able to pay for it. And for those that can pay for it, it's likely going to come out of some type of savings that you have. Now, the examples that I cited in the last segment with the emails that I got from my friends, that was the case. They had been receiving passive income on their real estate investments, and they were putting that passive income aside mainly for reinvestment purposes. But because they had these unexpected situations arise in their lives, they had available money to them that they were able to tap into. Now, granted, it did reduce their available funds for their next investment, but it did not impact their quality of life. Going back to that Federal Reserve System study that I cited in the first segment, they go on to state that a sizable share of adults say that they would struggle with a modest unexpected expense. For example, here's what they cite. 4 in 10 adults, that's 40% of you out there, if faced with an unexpected expense of just $400, would either not be able to cover it or would cover it by selling something or borrowing money. And to be honest with you, this study was done before coronavirus, so I think that, you know, based on what has occurred to a lot of us in the United States right now because of the impact coronavirus has had on us, that number might actually be larger. They go on and state this, over 1/5 or more than 20% of you of adults would not, let me repeat that, would not be able to pay all of their current month's bills in full. What that suggests to me is that at least 20% of you out there, you're living paycheck to paycheck. And all the money that you receive from your job, it is outflowing for whatever your normal cost of living expenses are. And I'm not picking on you because I used to be one of those guys. So I know exactly what that feels like. The Fed's study goes on to say this, over 1/4 or 25% of adults would, this bothers me, would skip necessary medical care due to being unable to afford the cost. That's just wrong. But that's what's going on in society right now. Do you need some more convincing that maybe what you're doing is potentially ineffective? Okay, I've got more stats for you. According to AAA, the American Automobile Association, they did a study that said the average cost of a repair to a car is somewhere between the neighborhood of $500 and $600, which as many as 1 in 3 drivers do not have readily available. It goes on. What about medical bills? Even with health insurance and no expected changes to your health, an accident or sudden hospital visit can be very, very expensive. You know, your out-of-pocket costs can vary widely and can top, you know, maybe $6,000 for medical services. And that's according to a Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation report. I didn't make that up. They went on to say that as a result, more than 1 in 4 adults skipped medical care in the past year because of the prohibitive costs. Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, what about the dog? What about the dog? You know, if you love animals like I do, I'm a big animal lover, I really am. This is a potential problem for you. According to Veterinary Practice News, pets sometimes need medical attention just like humans. And the average cost of emergency vet care is $1,500. Even if you have pet insurance, and they went on to cite this, fewer than 6% of dog owners actually have pet insurance, you're still going to have to pay the deductibles just like you would pay for human health insurance policies. And, you know, there's that old busted furnace, or like what happened to my two friends that sent me the emails that got me thinking about this. Home expenses, well, they can add up quickly. The cost of a new furnace can range from maybe $1,000 to $7,000, including installation, depending on whether you need a gas-fired, oil-burning, or electric model. And high-efficiency models can cost up to $12,000. Yeah, and what I'm talking about is I'm just talking about where you live. Now, if you rent where you live, then it is incumbent on the property owner to make those repairs. But if you're like me and you own your own home, you get the opportunity to pay for repairs on all the systems in your home. And you know what? Those things don't notify you when they're getting ready to break. I mean, I recall having one of our hot water heaters go out. It pretty much had used up its life expectancy, and it just stopped working. And it started leaking. Now, fortunately, we had the right, you know, catch pans and everything. But we saw water dripping out from one of the exhaust pipes. And we realized that, we got a problem. And that was an expensive repair. Came out of the blue, just the way it is. You know, unexpected costs can throw a wrench into your monthly budget. And Bankrate suggests, well, they came up with three things that they recommend that you might want to do to be prepared for these things. So let me just tell you what Bankrate suggests. They suggest the first thing you do is to start saving now. They say building up an emergency fund is important. In other words, putting money aside on a regular basis into a savings account can help you prepare for the unexpected. Okay, well, that's one approach. And I'm not saying it's a bad approach. I'm just saying that's one approach. The second approach they gave was this: to take out a short-term money loan. After all, they are a bank and they do make their money by loaning out other people's money that they have on deposit. So borrowing money, even $100 to maybe $1,000 from a financial institution, in their words, can help create a bridge over your unexpected expense. But keep in mind, you have to pay that loan back. And remember, certain loans do come with very high interest rates, so be sure to ask your lender before you commit to any loan. And to be honest with you, this suggestion makes a guy like Dave Ramsey want to, well, I'll just say it, throw up in his mouth. Now, the third suggestion that they had was this: cut your expenses as much as possible. In other words, they're suggesting that you limit your current lifestyle and might be implying that you don't know how to manage your household budget. You know, CNBC published an article that they entitled 90% of Americans don't like to cook, and it's costing them thousands of dollars each year. In that article, they said that making your own food, for example, may not seem like a lot, but the average household spends about $3,000 a year eating out. Okay, this article was written before coronavirus struck, but you get my point. You know, I like to think that there is another way to approach this, which takes into account a way not only to prepare for retirement, as well as a way to pay for your unexpected expenses. And we call that mailbox money. Or I guess, you know, in today's digital age, maybe we should retitle it as notification money. What is that, you might ask? Well, like I pointed out earlier, mailbox money is the income streams you receive by correctly investing in real estate assets. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into it. We'll be back after this.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del. People are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about the concept of mailbox money. And for those of you just joining us, mailbox money is the idea that when you invest correctly in residential income producing real estate, those assets will return positive cash flow. In other words, your resident will make the monthly rent payment as addressed in the lease. When that rent payment comes in, you as the responsible party and operator of the property will make all associated payments with regards to that asset. And what is left over is the profit or the passive income. Now, one of the things that we talk about on this show and in the Lifestyles Unlimited community is the power of having just one rental house. One rental house has the ability to pay you five different ways. It really does. And if we get into the concept of multifamily, which is defined as is properties consisting of five units or more, there's actually a sixth way that we make money in real estate. But what I want to talk about is what I consider to be the most important way, which is the cash flow. When you're investing in real estate, the number one consideration that you need to have is that the property will provide a monthly cash flow to you. Yeah. If the property, when you do the analysis of that property, if it doesn't indicate to you that there will be positive cash flow, or if it does have positive cash flow, if that positive cash flow is not a sufficient amount to make the investment worthwhile, we just pass on the deal. We don't do that deal. We don't buy property for the sake of just owning property. We buy property based on the potential that property has to make a difference in our financial lives. And when you have passive income coming in, you can do whatever you want with it. I know a lot of people that, well, they just spend the money. It is something that they use to go on vacation because the money that they're earning in their W-2 job doesn't afford them the ability to do that. But by amassing that passive income, they can go out and start living a lifestyle that they weren't able to lead before. And when you get enough passive income coming in that it meets or exceeds your ordinary expenses of living, you have reached our definition of retirement. And retirement doesn't mean that you have to quit your job. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that you have regained control of your life. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of Steve who is a musician. He's also a Lifestyles Unlimited member, and he's a very good musician. As a matter of fact, he plays in the symphony, the San Antonio Symphony, and you know, they don't make great money in the symphony, but they make an income. Now, Steve became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and with the available funds that he had, which was not like a massive amount of money. I think he started with about $13,000 in savings that he had built up over the years. He started investing in single family homes, and those homes started producing cash flow. And for him, that cash flow was a big deal because he started giving himself annual raises. Now think about it. If you have a property, a single family property, and let's say that that property is producing $400 a month in passive income. That's after all the expenses are paid, $400 a month in passive income. When you annualize that, you're looking at $4,800 a year. That's almost a $5,000 a year raise you're giving yourself. And for a guy like Steve, who didn't make a lot of money doing what he's passionate about doing, that was a significant change in his life. It allowed him to do things that he couldn't do before. And after he bought that first property, he went on to buy a second property, which produced cash flow, which changed his quality of life. And then he bought another property and another property and another property. And he continued on that path until he had amassed enough passive income that, to be honest with you, didn't necessarily just exceed his monthly living expenses. It actually surpassed what he was earning in the symphony. So let's go back to March when coronavirus was, you know, front page news stories, and all of a sudden the country was in a pandemic and governors were making decisions to shut the economy down for the sake of everyone's safety. Well, a lot of businesses shuttered, and the symphony, it was no different because you can't go to the symphony when you have the coronavirus because, I mean, you know, think about the symphony. You're sitting, it's like being in a ginormous movie theater. You're sitting elbow to elbow with everybody else. You can't do that, especially back then. Their social distancing was you stay home. So the symphony shut down. Now, Steve was financially positioned to where his real estate was still paying him an income, and that income still exceeded what he was making in the symphony. So Steve was doing okay, because even though he essentially lost his job, he still had income streams coming in to help him out. I would venture to say that there were probably a lot of other musicians associated with that symphony that didn't fare as well. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And that is part of the power of cash flow. That is part of the power of developing passive income streams. You know, it helped Steve survive the coronavirus. You know, I had a conversation with him, and he told me if he didn't have his real estate, he probably would have been on the path to filing bankruptcy, because even though he could have filed for unemployment, that unemployment would only keep him going for a certain amount of time. And as we all know, you know, there was like a federal bump. Like, I think the federal government was paying what an extra, I don't remember what the numbers were, but an extra amount of money over and above what unemployment pays. Well, that ran out. And Steve basically told me that if he didn't have the real estate, he would have been in a very, very dark place. So the point I want to make to you is this: the path that you're on, I'm not saying you're wrong, but what I am saying is this: it's ineffective. And I know this because I was on that path too. I was on a path that was ineffective for me. And when I left the military, because the military decided on my part, it was time for me to retire. I had essentially aged out based on my rank. And although they had selected me for promotion, there were no positions to promote me into, and my clock ran out. And I was done. And even though I'm the beneficiary of a pension, that pension only pays one third of what I was making on active duty. And at the age of 50, leaving the military, trying to penetrate into the workforce was a very difficult task for me. And I won't get into all the background on all of that, but I will suffice it to say it took me 10 months to find employment that at least paid me the difference of what I had been making. And that 10 months was a very painful time in my life. Very, very painful financially. You know, we survived it. But had I been invested correctly in real estate assets before I left the military, it may have been a different situation for me. It absolutely may have. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to consider the path that you're on and recognize that there is potential for improvement. I'm not saying you got to quit your job. What I am saying is that you need to look into investment assets that have a different way of helping you financially. If what you're investing in right now is not paying you cash flow, then it's ineffective and that needs to change. Now, if you want to find out how to get started in investing in real estate and you want a very excellent comprehensive education program that will teach you everything you need to know, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.